Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It is Dom time. I checked with my editor, Dan, during the break, and my column is appearing tomorrow in the Bucks County Courier-Times.
They approved it.
Doylestown Intelligencer, and he actually said, really good job on this. And, you know, editors don't throw compliments around like that. And it's the grand theory. It's summarizing this whole thing, which is what Governor Wolf and this Rachel Levine are doing is outrageous. And the reason they're getting away with it is the media has lost their footing here. Now, I know it would be bold, but I'll ask you, if some media source said, we are not going to cover this anymore, it's a charade. 5 million viewers he gets on some days, Wolf. 250K on Facebook. Because you will not take questions. We're not going to go anymore. This isn't romper room. This isn't some state-controlled media. We're not going to do written questions. Can you imagine if Trump got written questions and they hand him one he doesn't like and he puts it into a thing, an airplane, and throws it over to Mike Pence or something? No. How in the world did this happen? And the stupidity of these lame excuses. Wow, we're trying to get in as much as possible and we only have 20 minutes. So I write in the column, here's something. How about an hour? Oh, wow, they can't devote an hour to this. No, no, no. This is the main thing of the day, the policy thing. You don't want to devote. You're running out the clock. You like doing these because you think it poses you. You're a poser, this guy and Rachel Levine, as people scientific in charge. All these nasty protesters. No, take an hour a day. Take questions. President takes 2 hours many days. Yeah, well, we don't like that. That's just contentious. We just need information. No. We need policy. We need debate. We are citizens with no voice here, no media to ask those questions. These stupid written questions. So you'll get that tomorrow. You can get it online, phillyburbs.com. And put some comments down. I don't know, Dan, the Bucks County one, I never get any nasty stuff. But the Doylestown Intelligencer, just being in there sets these people off. Unbelievable. They go crazy every time it dawns on them. So I'm sure the PhD moms are massing, mask included, in Doylestown today, their capital city. And they're getting ready for tomorrow's read for their outrage that will come dripping out. I love it. So I do hope you'll take a look at that. I thought a lot about this, and that's the conclusion. The whole thing with Wolf and what's going on here comes down to he's got a lot of executive power, and he's not allowed to throw it around. He looks like Mr. Rogers, even though he's a radical. You know the evidence of that. He's actually said, we're still going to go forward with asking for 4% more in this upcoming budget. My God. What would break this? Well, if Republicans had used their subpoena power, which I didn't know about. Look, I'm not running it every day. I can only coach him. They should have done this a month, 5 weeks. Well, he'll just tie it up in court. What's the good of that? Somebody somewhere has got to cover this stuff. And people are going to say, well, wait a minute, Governor Wolf. Why are you what is Wolf's argument to him why he could fight letting people in Pennsylvania know who got a waiver and who did it? What's the argument? Is he just going to say executive privilege? Whoa, wait a minute. That sounds like Richard Nixon. What is he trying to cover up? Well, we know what he's trying to cover up. Politically, this is damaging. We get stuff, we're inundated with people. Your heart goes out to them. This one guy written me many times, I've told you about, pool company. And he cites towns that are within 5 or 10 miles of his. A couple of them are open. He can't be open. His waiver was denied. Why? Why did this happen? Who knows the politics of this? It might even be a dartboard there with these goofballs. And when we had the guy on, he couldn't explain what the criteria. We're always hearing about science and metrics. What I'm saying is, rather than focusing on all these national issues constantly, the red states can open up all they want. The pressure has to be on Wolf, and Republicans are unable to exert enough pressure. They're not bold enough. They should have gone with the subpoena thing a month or 6 weeks ago, right out of the box. We're going to subpoena it. That's it. If the media goes after them, then go after them even more. You got to take a risk here. These guys are risk takers. I know Wolf's there in a sweater and that Mr. Rogers like. He's just saying, come on, bring it on. I'll veto everything. Tomorrow's Thursday. I veto it. 14 Democrats, though, yesterday did vote to open up the real estate industry in the assembly. Not sure why those 14, but we're looking at this. Isn't the media curious about this snitch portal? Don't they think it's a good debate? Dan, you've invited on the editor of the Lancaster Online, which is a very liberal newspaper, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, keep inviting him.
Oh, they already denied.
What did they say?
Too busy today.
Yes. Okay, you know what to do. Let's play this out each day for listeners. Say, what about tomorrow? What about next week? What about in July? I'm not going to forget. Yeah, Dan, send him another one. What about tomorrow? Just send a representative. So it's so busy over in Lancaster. What are the Amish having a race today in the buggies or something? What's the big coverage over in Lancaster County? All right, so Dan's busily doing that. We'll see what the next response. It's like tennis. We're playing a drop shot here. Too busy to come on and tell us their editorial, their big editorial, front page today, why they think this is needed. They say it's like OSHA. It's like the U.S. civil rights thing. Well, you already have those. If some employer is violative of something, tell OSHA. Why do we need to set up another government outfit here snitching on people? I thought we were all supposed to be in this together. Kind of mixed message, isn't it? Why, as the curve has been flattened, as we're approaching doing better, looking at reopening and all that, why do they want to set up a snitch line? Now, all I know about it is at one point they had 1,200 complaints, responses. I don't know if people are complaining about them or not. I'm not going to give it out. I don't want to encourage more people going to it. But some of these people are so warped, they think this is a good idea, particularly in the midst of all this coming together, science and the rest of it. The media, I know it would be tough. Dan, do you think people would prize the media outfit that said, like CNN? CNN is bolstered by not covering Trump with their crazy, right? People go, oh man, that's so courageous because he might say something, he might be there, there might be more viewers. They either cut away, they don't cover him, right? That's CNN's posture. They're doing it nationally with the president of the United States. Why do the TV stations have to cover Governor Wolf? Well, come on. Well, they shouldn't just not cover him. They ought to say, our policy is we cannot in good conscience cover this anymore because they are not letting us do our job as journalists. They are not answering what are the biggest questions out there. Unless maybe they feel their viewers or their readers aren't like Talk Radio 1210. They're just a compliant mass that's being herded into this stuff. And they don't want to see any debate or any policy on this. I mean, we cracked this, you and I, some time ago, and Dan, that the key thing here, the thing that was going to do this, is to force this guy to have to answer questions. It's indefensible what he's doing here. And it's not based on science. Make the two of them answer questions and follow up. 855-839-1210. Then I want the public to see who's right in this. AT&T and Verizon Wireless push pound 1210. You saw what happened to Murphy, wrong way Murphy, when he won with Tucker Carlson. What an embarrassment. Bill of Rights, that's above my pay grade. Ho, ho, ho. All right. Cuomo takes questions. He's been amassed as far as how arrogant he is, just with a reporter going back and forth a little bit. This would be bad with Wolf. This would be horrible. And Rachel Levine. They couldn't hide behind all their science. Can they answer for the unemployment claims, which people are still begging for? What's their answer to that? The media's answer seems to be, well, you know, they're being inundated. Well, then maybe they shouldn't put as many people out of work. Did you ever think about that? Maybe they ought to be trying to get them back so that those industries that they absolutely have to shut down for now, they could deal with. Ever think about, oh, no, we're not thinking about that. We just want you to stay in place. Don't worry about anything. Governor Wolf's on the job. All right, let's go to Mike. Mike is next here on Talk Radio 1210. Michael, good morning, and thanks very much for the wait.
Good morning, Dom. How are you?
Well, I just got a cup of tea and a kiss here on the Dom Dome, so I'm doing great.
Oh,
God.
Good for you.
Dan, I'm never coming back to the station. The heck with that. What's that station here? The Dom Dome is wonderful here. Yeah. It was all off air. I never said that. Go ahead, Mike.
I don't know how familiar you are with the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind,
Absolutely.
But I'm starting to feel like Richard Dreyfuss. You remember the part where the government tells them they got to have those masks on because there was a chemical leak or something?
That's right.
And then he finally figures out this is bull crap, and he rips his mask off, and he can breathe.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, I hear you. But it's amazing how the media, all these media sources, are intimidated by Mr. Rogers here, isn't it?
I got my own problems over here in New Jersey.
You got the real pack. But at least, you know what? With Murphy, I get it. Murphy is colorful. I'd love to have a look. I had the slugfest with the best, with Chris Christie. I was invigorated that day. I could go and run 3 miles after Christie and I if we had been in studio, it would have been a sumo wrestling match or something. So what's your build?
Oh, this would be much more entertaining if Christie was still in office.
Oh, God, yes. Get the hell off the beach. Yeah. What's your building?
Get the hell back in your house.
Yeah. What's the building?
My building, I don't know if you've ever been to San Diego. On Coronado Island, the Hotel del Coronado, it is the oldest wooden or the largest wooden structure in the United States. It's absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful building, Dom. And famous, guys. I don't know if you know this, Mike, but it got famous because of Some Like It Hot, the movie with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, that's what's
piece.
Down there? Yeah.
You know that beautiful white hotel? Yeah, that's that one.
All right, nice.
Now,
All right.
I don't have enough money to stay there, but you can walk around in there, and I've eaten outside there on the terrace. And when you walk down the halls, there's all these pictures of all these stars, and there's a whole section there with all the pictures from Some Like It Hot.
Good stuff, Dan. As you always say, people learn stuff like me from this, so very nicely done. I wouldn't have known that.
Kind of looks like a hotel you'd see in Atlantic City's old days.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
what's the most classic hotel or the hotel of the Bellevue Stratford was in our area until the virus thing there? That was a biggie.
I've always loved the Traymore in Atlantic City.
Okay. There's something about the classy, big-time, old-time hotel, without a doubt.
Marlboro Blenheim in Atlantic City, beautiful hotel.
All right, a lot of Atlantic City knowledge there.
Yeah.
Burt Lancaster in Atlantic City saying... The Atlantic Ocean was different back then. Remember that line?
Another building that's no longer with us in Philadelphia. Not beautiful by any means, but a really cool place to go. The Aquarama down in South Philly.
Yes, I remember the Aquarama. It was quite quirky. Yeah, they used to have the sign up there, too. When you turn off the highway on the way to Citizens Bank Park, it still was there. It's not there now, but maybe 5-7 years ago, I think it was still there. So... 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. Just push pound 1210. I'm loving, and we'll give you a full time. I'd love to hear somebody try to tell me the rationale since they're so busy over in Lancaster. Dan, you know the Philadelphia Inquirer's got to editorialize about this on a slow day. Oh, yeah, we got to be doing that. You know, that'll kill a column. Put it in there. This portal is genius so that we have more people ratting on each other. You know what they're doing now? They're pitting up people that are tired of this against the people that are working and saying you don't care about these essential workers. And two, the medical people. Remember that? We had that. The media is interested in that, pitting protesters and others who say it's time to safely open up against other people. That's what they're doing. That's what they're putting the scales on here. A couple of other things to bring up. Not that I'm wishing this, because, look, I'm not like people on the left. I'm not wishing ill on anyone, but maybe a reassessment, a reining in. I'm looking at Financial Times headline, Coronavirus Burst the U.S. College Education Bubble. Remember, the first time we started using the word bubble was the dot-com bubble. That's the first one I remember. Then it was the housing bubble, meaning a lot of us in talk radio, you included, were saying with the housing thing, you know, this doesn't look right. Something about this is just going to burst. That's a bubble. Well, could we be seeing the bubble? Even before the coronavirus, Moody's says 30% of colleges tracked by rating agency Moody were running deficits. 15% of public universities had less than, that should be fewer, than 90 days of cash on hand. Now with colleges shuttered, revenues reduced, endowment investments plunging, and the added struggle of shifting from physical to virtual education, Moody has downgraded the entire sector to negative from stable. The American Council on Education believes revenues in higher education will decline by $23 billion over the next academic year. Now, will this bring them to their knees as far as stopping the nonsense they've been doing on so many fronts, one of which is the just astronomical inflationary cost of what it costs to go to college versus last year, the next year, that whole thing, the indoctrination, the courses that just do not match up with the real world to get people viable jobs, student loan debt in the trillion, right? Is that going to happen? Well, the president of the University of Brown, big editorial, everybody covered it. They said that so-called higher education has to be a national priority to head back for September. Whoa, lady, wait a minute. With all this stuff going on, with mom and pops reopening business, she means in a manner that we've seen before. No, this is a good thing, a day of reckoning for this bubble that's there. Now, I don't wish this, you know, you got to be a ghoul to wish this on anybody like the left does. But the point is, no, college should not be bailed out. They have the wherewithal. Start with the top guy, Harvard, $40 billion endowment. They could certainly, we've been through this with them getting monies. Penn had to give it back. Even Penn State. Why are they getting over $55 million bucks? They have endowment. They have the ability. They have to straighten it out. And maybe it will put some sense into what they've been getting away with as far as charging. So I don't wish it, but it's not something that should be altered. And it is not a national priority that they should be bailed out. They should bail themselves out. Brown certainly has an endowment, probably billions. That's what they ought to use, and that's what they ought to do. And if people don't want to pay the price that you're asking, probably for Brown at 70 grand, 80 grand, whatever it is, a year plus, then they should lower the price, right? Could we actually see that happening? I've seen that tuition has been frozen in some places. Now, one other quick thing. And I'm looking at this headline. The Attorney General's office, Josh Shapiro, has gotten 4,500 complaints that Pennsylvanians have filed claiming price gouging during this virus crisis. But deep in the article, it says, price gouging has emerged as the top consumer gripe during the pandemic as shoppers see costs rise for items they need to stay healthy at home. State attorneys general have sprung into action. Last line, but many price increases are not actually illegal as merchants face higher costs to deliver goods. So we've seen this with the beef industry, with poultry, with all that. Are they price gouging? Well, you know, I resist that whole field most times, and I do here too. How do we know what it's like? Have they had to up-pay the supply chain and all that? Scarcity of product, Purell. Staff, do they have to be paid more? Loss of income because of staggering stuff. In other words, running a supermarket has a small margin. I think it's under 1% to start with. It's all in volume and all, and that's how you make your money. But given all the challenges they face now, including potential lawsuits around the virus, I guess, it's got to be staggering. Are they making an unbelievable profit? Are these prices out of line? Dan, you do some of the shopping. Have you seen anything where you think, yep, that's price gouging?
Yeah, some of the chicken has been pretty high.
Like how, like when I would get chicken, it was like $6 or so. What are you seeing?
I've seen prices like double that.
12?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a lot of stuff with the poultry line as far as, I don't know about scarcity, but supply chain stuff to get it there. And it sells out pretty quickly. Yep. 12, you're saying though.
I've seen crazy prices on chicken from, and it's mostly, I mean, the big breasts and the drumsticks have been pretty decently priced. But the thinner breasts, the strips, right. You know, the easier to cook chicken has been pretty high comparatively.
All right. Would you say that's price gouging then?
I see it more as supply and demand.
I do too. Yeah, I don't think they're in the business of doing this now. Now, you know, some small, I'm talking the bigger chains and all. I don't think they're price gouging. I think they're reflecting, though, the scarcity, the price, the difficulty of all these things we've talked about. 855-839-1210. You've got a line, though. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210, and we'll get you on board. At the end of your call, just hit us with a building, a site, real or fictional. We've gotten some great ones, and we'd love to hear yours. Captain Chucky's $50 gift certificate online. I'll tell you one product, Dan, in Jersey. DJ just sent me this, that no price gouging, but they're afraid they might run out of Taylor pork roll in New Jersey.
Oh,
uh-oh.
No.
Yes. Now, I call it Taylor pork roll. What do you call it?
Just pork roll.
Just pork roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, we grew up with Taylor pork roll.
Taylor ham.
You call it, Joe, there's that divide in Jersey, right? Some call it ham, some call it pork roll, right?
Well, I'm North Jersey, so Taylor ham.
Taylor ham. Ah, that's right. I've heard that, and I don't understand why it's always Taylor pork roll, but apparently the pork products and all the stuff we're talking about, they are having a good deal of finding people to work enough, supply chain and all that. Man, Jersey will revolt. What's Murphy going to do? All right, let's go into the vortex here for a moment since we just heard from Joe to clarify that. All right. Joe, yesterday you were pretty stable with the Gabor sisters. The wildest is the octopus wrestlers last week, I guess. What's the iconic building to Joe Sebelia?
I'm shocked nobody has said it. 30 Rockefeller Plaza, the home of NBC Studios in New York.
That is a very good one, yes.
Think about all of the history in that building.
Absolutely.
From the Tonight Show to Saturday Night Live, Broadway Open House, you name it. Well, no, actually that wasn't filmed there, but I digress.
The Rainbow Room is there, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, Rainbow Room.
Have you ever been to the Rainbow Room?
I have not been to the Rainbow Room, no. My mother went on a date there many years ago, but I have
not. All right, that is a good one, Joe. That's pretty normal, they, too. Something's the vortex, Dan, I think, is not an essential thing anymore. It's not working. It's not wild every day. That was pretty rational.
I'll come up with some wild stuff. Please,
no.
Don't give me the axe.
No, we just want to know exactly what you're thinking at that moment. That's wild enough, yes. All right, let's go to Judy. Judy is in on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Judy. Welcome in.
Hi, Dom. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I have a suggestion for you regarding our Memorial Day weekend. Let's speak with Governor Wolf, Governor Murphy, and move this year's Memorial Day weekend to a celebration, maybe June 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. June 14th is Flag Day anyway,
right.
So that weekend may be a good option, or even later into June. It will give all of our businesses and people ready to prepare for the celebrations, wherever we choose to celebrate. As they say, Christmas in July, this year it could be Memorial Day in June or later. Stay safe.
All right. Well, that would be an interesting proposition versus just ditching it. I agree.
Right.
And Judy, while you're there with that, though, one thing that I didn't like, who was it talking about it? Oh, Murphy. Murphy, uh-huh. When he said he might cancel it, started lecturing us and got caught up in it about, you know, the holiday really is supposed to be in honor of those who made the supreme sacrifice. Hey, buddy, we get that. That's important. But it's also the kickoff of a lot of good family stuff, et cetera. So people are not downgrading what the real intent of the holiday is. And
correct.
I think he's trying to say, well, you don't need to go to the beach or have backyard barbecues or whatever. We get that. But you know what? Don't play on the patriotism angle. It's weak when it comes to this guy. I like your idea, though. What's the building?
Look how many things they've moved. They've moved tax day
exactly.
to July. A lot of things they have, but they need to consider this for the people, too. You know?
What's your building?
My favorite building is Independence Hall.
That's
Declaration
it.
Of Independence,
right.
U.S. Constitution. We're both debated and signed inside.
We have been looking for that, Dan, all show. Judy's a leader in the clubhouse with Independence Hall. Yeah, I saw the governor, I think it was yesterday, maybe, Dan. He started to swerve, and he started to be saying, well, you know, that's not really the meaning of the day. You petty, petty little brain, right? Trying to embarrass us, shame. You know what this is all part of in his mind? this media narrative, and let's talk about it at 855-839-1210, that it's not so bad. All you're being asked to do is sit on the couch. How bad is that? Well, to the base of progressives like Murphy, they probably love it. They're curled up on the couch right now. He's sending a check. They're fine with that. But to the real America, the traditional America, the hardworking America, the America that gets things to run on time, they resent that. It goes against their fiber. Yeah, maybe for a day or two here it wasn't bad, but this lockdown forever, no, they're not on board with that. You're not conning them with that. Just like this was a con, well, let's have Memorial Day without all that other stuff, because Memorial Day is supposed to be about that. Boy, it'll really refocus us this year on that. Really, no sale. It's certainly about that. That's the core of the day. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with the other parts of it. Kicking off the summer. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Looking for a sign of hope, big hope on two fronts at once, both the health side and the economic side. Dan, the stock market has been bubbling up today. What's it up to right now?
It's up over 500 points so far, Dom. We are sitting right now, as we speak, at 24,607.
And from the low of right around 18,000, right?
Yeah, 18,213. So right. Lowest was 18,213, highest 29,568 before everything happened.
Right.
Now we're sitting at 24,607.
And the reason is Stuart Varney, I think, is right about this. And Dr. Nicole Sapphire, who was on, and you'll have that up on podcast today from Fox News, mentioned, I asked her, all right, chloroquine and all that, they've been batted around a bit. What is it right now? And it's Remdesivir, perhaps the most closely watched experimental drug to treat the coronavirus, has showed that the medicine is effective. Stat News reported today. Now, there's some provisos back and forth on this, but this is the first one, Dan, that appears to have some of the good housekeeping seal of approval. And Stuart Varney at Fox Business says that this is not only raising that stock and health hopes, but the market is responding that this is something to grab onto, not just something people were hoping for. We know the thing with hydroxychloroquine is, if given early on, it works well. But given in the later stages, because you can't give it early on, some of these restrictions, it has not been as effective as the argument. And this drug all of a sudden has burst onto the scene. So does this tell us, again, let me add another layer to this. Doesn't this breakthrough with these geniuses in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York, that there is great hope out there, and when they're calibrating, reopening the economy, they ought to take into account. Now, again, I know there are arguments here. This hasn't gone through every hurdle, but it is not just fanciful thrown out there. We have to drill down on this tomorrow and get on some people and talk about this, Dan, because this is big news. This is, it appears to me, if I had to put a number on it, 75 to 90% home to be seen as a real good treatment for the virus. If that's the case, as this inches forward, doesn't any rational person, rather than coming up with, we're just going to keep you shut down, have to take that into account? In other words, think about this. That's why I'm excited on this. Dan has the cut. I'll play her Dr. Sapphire in a moment. I'm excited about this because then this cuts into the risk factor. And rational people are making careful decisions, hopefully, and going back and forth. That's what I would be doing based upon certain enterprises, businesses, risk factor versus how high is the potential morbidity rate. That's why this is so big. Now, I'm waiting, and we'll chronicle it tomorrow, maybe even right now. There will be an all-out media onslaught to try to tell America that this, this, and this, and that big mouths like me are giving you false hope. I'm not saying this. I said there's a hurdle or two to go with this. But this is exciting news that has burst during the show today, and that's why the stock market is jumping up there. And if the media were doing their job, don't they have to write or ask questions about, Doctor, Governor Wolf, Murphy, are you taking this into account as far as risk factor? In other words, I'm trying to probe here. If we're worried about the initial thing was the dropping down the hospital collapse, right? We've gotten past that hurdle. It was ventilators was in there too, right? Trump is right. We're done with that now. So the next level was people are going to die from this. Now, it's not pleasant if people are still going to get some degree of illness. But if those numbers are shattered because of the efficacy of this treatment, then doesn't that cut into, simple question, the risk you're taking by reopening versus the risk on the other side? I mean, Dan, do we have to do everything? I know we're touting our own horn out here, but I am so happy to be in talk radio, to be with you and Joe in talk radio principally, and to be here in this area, curious about all this stuff. I didn't say anything wild then. I thought it was pretty careful, but I'm excited to think the logic appeals to me. And again, don't you think the media ought to cover it in that manner, Dan?
100%, yeah.
Yeah. It offers hope. It has gone through some of the mainstreaming. It's not just President Trump saying, I heard about hydrochloric, you know, all that stuff. And Trump is not involved in this. I would tell President Trump not to be enunciating this today. Don't give them that. They want to distract from this. They're just poised now to bring on Dr. Sanjay Gupta and others to tell us, oh, no, no, Anderson, no way with that. We got to stay shut down forever. Really? All right, so we're going to drag the streets here. We're going to get the experts on to break this down even more scientifically. And it's fueling optimism big time, up over 500 points. We're starting to come back within shouting distance of where we were. Here's Dr. Nicole Sapphire today with me when I asked her toward the end of our interview from Fox News Channel about the efficacy of drugs. What are you hearing now? What are you looking for? Here's what she said. What is it you would do if you're treating COVID-19 patients?
Well, that's a part of the problem I was talking about. You have some medications that are brand new, that Remdesivir, that antiviral that, you know, is not FDA approved, but it's undergoing trials throughout the United States. You know, it's showing some efficacy sometimes and not other times. So that's kind of more down the road for me. But the hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin combination, that's the one that interests me more because that is a medication that has been used for decades and has a low risk profile. And unfortunately, I've heard anecdotal reports from many of my colleagues across the country. Some people say if it is given right away at the onset of symptoms, then that patient does tremendously. On the other hand, it's given more later on, the patient isn't right. doing as well. But the state legislators have tied our backs and said to outpatient physicians, you're not allowed to prescribe it. You can only give it when it's in the hospital or with a clinical trial. But it seems like it's too late at that point. So I'm really tired of politicians intruding into the doctor-patient relationship. That should be a decision between the doctor and the patient. Every time you talk about a medication, there's always the conversation about risk versus benefits. I don't need a politician telling us what we can and cannot do.
All right. Now, Remdesivir is the, is the new drug. I'm just going to call it R for Remdesivir? The future. Remdesivir is the new drug, and the stock market is wild today. It's not like it was with others because there have been trials here. Again, rightfully so, there's a lot of hurdles you have to get before this is fully out there. But shouldn't that be a factor? Wouldn't you love to hear the answer from Cuomo? Might have a decent answer on this, but wrong way, Murphy, above my pay grade. Next question. Rachel Levine? What? Let's go to Mary. I want to get one more in here before the break here on Talk Radio 1210. Think this is a good one. Mary, what is your building?
Lucy the Elephant in Margate.
Ah, yes. By the way, up until this crisis, Airbnb, you could stay a night inside Lucy the Elephant.
Yeah, it would be nice, wouldn't it?
Very good one. All right, I put that up there as a contender, Dan, local. That and Independence Hall are a couple of the leaders. We'll take some more coming up. This is an exciting moment, though, and any rational person would calculate a treatment like this. And again, if they want to hide behind, well, this isn't 100% this, that, or the other. I'm not saying it is. But I'm saying when you make your metric, your calculation, unless your calculation is just based on you keep on moving the goalposts, you don't care that people are suffering, and you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, well, then this doesn't interest you. It interests me a lot. So during that break, and Dan, I got to admit, I love this stuff. I have to admit it. It's a great job to have because I would read this medical stuff and all the back and forth over this new drug that's driving the market today. The key language here in the minutiae of the statements they released is this was a U.S. government study that's got us to this point. In other words, we're getting into the realm of something that's mainstream here. And the former head of the FDA, we're trying to get him on, Scott Gottlieb, says that based on how it went with Hydro, this would certainly be a drug that should get emergency authorization. That could happen sooner rather than later. And you watch, though, if President Trump is excited today because he wants out of this. And if he talks about this a little bit, and again, I would have a lot of specific talking points, one, two, three there. And then if any of these media types stand up and start their nonsense on this, pound away, have at it then. Okay, now this may not be, it may be another dead end. But I'm getting excited that American ingenuity drive urgency on this, that we are going to get there. And the thing that should be asked of these governors, the PhD governor, Wolf, given this development today with this and why it's and how it's driving things, don't you have to concede that you should factor this into what you're going to do as far as holding Pennsylvania hostage, Governor? Isn't that a fair point? I want to debate policy with these people, not just how progressive they are, but policy and what this is based on. Let's go to Jonathan. He's next in here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Dom. How are you?
Very good.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. If I can give you a brief synopsis of my situation, if that's okay. I have
sure.
a small painting company based in Delaware County. I work, you know, Philadelphia along the mainline corridor. And about a year and a half ago, my wife, Michelle, she was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. So that got me to thinking, obviously, that's catastrophic.
Right.
How much time do we have left? So I'm you know, praying for that. It's very rare, so we don't really know. So anyway, she gets treatment. I'm putting my business into high gear. Okay, I need to get myself really going, expand my business. It's a me, myself, and I type situation with a helper occasionally. So, okay, let me apply for the waiver and do the right thing, go through the proper channels. So I email the Commonwealth, and they say to call. I call. Woman says, oh, her name was, I think, Sophia. Go ahead and apply for the waiver. I do that. I get denied. Applied on the 25th of March. I was denied about 2 weeks later. Friend of mine has a business exactly like mine, same kind of setup, sole proprietorship,
right.
out in Chester County. Won't say his name. Good friend of mine. He got his waiver. He was granted. Now, we're both doing exterior work right now. Well, theoretically, I would be. He's also doing the same. He's working right now. I am unable to work because I was denied. And I know people are out there taking signs off the trucks and doing that stuff, but I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah, well, Jonathan, let me say that this enrages me so much. And I'm not enraged at Wolf because this goofball is doing exactly what progressives do. I'm enraged at Republicans who didn't make this an all-out frontal assault. And that would be subpoena on this. The very first time this came up, which was 4 to 6 weeks ago. Two,
right.
the media, who is just not hearing you. I don't know what's going on here. They're not doing your story to ratchet up pressure on this. Why is it we in talk radio have compassion for this? They don't. All it is the body count each day, and then heroes on the front lines. What about the people
You're
that
right.
make this country go? This is who we stand with, and we're trying to turn up the pressure, Jonathan. And again,
no, you're right.
It's exasperating. That's what I wrote about in tomorrow's column, and I'm trying to get it out there as many places as possible, particularly with these Republicans. What's your building, Jonathan?
Oh, the building would be, I said the Empire State Building is what I told Dan. I figured as a kid, I always loved the 1930s version of King Kong. Fond memories. So I would picture him swatting away those biplanes. So that was my silly vote. So,
well, Jonathan, please carry on. I don't know what we could do to help, and good luck with your wife, but we're pitching. Thank you very much, Jonathan. What is the disconnect here? Why are these stories, Dan, if you have an insight here, I know we have to take a break, that why the media is not telling story after story like this? They're not. It's great material for them on top, and it's the right thing to do, right?
I have no answer to it. There's no reason for them not to cover it besides they're trying to do something here, I guess.
Or they just don't get it. They don't get they're buying into the scientists telling us we don't want to put those compassion stories out there because they weaken our resolve. And our resolve has to be to wait till Rachel Levine tells us it's safe to go back to work. She's the scientist. We've been down that road. Yeah, right.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.